Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's up, fellas? Welcome back to Combos Over Cold Brew with me, your host, Emma Abrahamson. Today we're talking to TikTok star Lydia Keating. She has over 1.2 million followers on the platform, and how I would describe her content is it's like vlogging. And I found her because she posts a lot about her running, and I honestly thought it was basically my twin, which is kind of funny because when I posted on my story for this episode to ask her questions, people thought that it was me, so people were getting confused, but she's also a former D1 rower for Yale, and we talk about everything in this episode. It's a little bit longer. Me and Lydia could have talked for hours, I swear. She'll definitely be on again in the future, but before we talk about a second episode, I hope you guys enjoy this one. Okay, you guys know the drill. If you love the podcast and you listen every week, and if you haven't already, a free way to support the podcast is just by rating and reviewing on Apple Podcasts. I know I say it all the time, but I can't stress enough how much it helps me. It's completely free. It only takes 15 seconds on Apple Podcasts, I swear. And I just love reading your guys' reviews too. It seriously makes my day. Like, you guys are the ones that keep me going recording this podcast for you guys. And by you guys rating and reviewing and listening every week, I'm able to get on higher profile guests because they see that you guys love the podcast and then they can come on, answer your listener questions, and it just helps establish credibility of the podcast. So if you haven't already done that, it would mean so much if you just took that 15 seconds to do that, or just telling your friends listening every week. You guys know I appreciate you. Seriously, would not be here without you fellows. So today's episode is brought to you by Inside Tracker. When you do what you love, like running, like racing, like enjoying the great outdoors, you want to do it for life. Inside Tracker can help. Inside Tracker was founded in 2009 by leading scientists in aging, genetics, and biometrics. Using their patented algorithm, Inside Tracker analyzes your body's data to provide you with a clear picture of what's going on inside you and to offer you science-backed recommendations for positive diet and lifestyle changes. I've been using Inside Tracker since February, and let me tell you, the first time I got my blood work done, my results were shocking. I literally had no idea that my stress hormone, cortisol, would be so high. And with the help of Inside Tracker, I've been making dietary and lifestyle changes to help optimize that biomarker, as well as other ones like vitamin D, my HDL cholesterol. They analyze so much of your body's data, and then Inside Tracker tracks your progress every day, every step of the way towards reaching your performance goals and living a longer, healthier life. For a limited time, you can get 25% off the entire Inside Tracker store. Just go to insidetracker.com/Emma. That's insidetracker.com/Emma. Now let's get straight into the episode. Okay, Lydia, thank you so much for coming on. I say this in every episode because everyone I bring on is a highly requested guest, but it was so funny to see the reaction of people when I posted you on my story, because first of all, it was everyone thought it was me. Like, people responded, they're like, LOL, that you're so funny. And I was like, it's not me. Or people were just really excited to see us collaborate on this podcast. So I have a feeling it'll be a good episode.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's very flattering. I'm so honored to be on this podcast. And I am very impressed that you have a podcast, because I feel like I have always wanted to do a podcast. And it's like, it takes discipline. Do you do this every week?
Yeah, it's every Thursday.
Yeah, that must be. When did you start it?
I started at a good time. It was during quarantine, so I had extra time on my hands. Because I was just like you. I was like, I just want to start a podcast. I've always wanted to do it, because I talk forever anyways. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, might as well talk to everyone, you know?
Yeah.
So it was good during quarantine. But yeah, I think it's a lot more work than people think. Like, people are like, oh, it's just a conversation. But I'm like, the editing, more than anything, takes just hours. But
so do you, like, will you go into this and like edit down the boring parts and like,
not really, like most of the time our conversations aren't boring, so yeah.
We're very exciting people.
yeah clearly. But no, I mean, I will, like, if it's too long, maybe I'll edit out a part, or I just, like, I get scared, like okay, so I recorded a couple days ago with one of my friends, thank goodness. A lot of the people I talk to are like people I know, so that's nice. But like, my sink made some weird noise. So she was like in the middle of talking, I was like, and then so I had to like edit out that part, and I was like, sorry, my sink that doesn't have a garbage disposal just made the weirdest noise.
Sketchy.
But yeah, that's the only thing. But I like listened to the podcast like 3 times through just to make sure it sounds good, which I can see why people have editors now. Anyways, welcome to How to Make a Podcast with Emma Abraham.
I'm so fascinated by it. I don't know if your listeners have a similar fascination, but
probably not. Everyone's talking
about, okay, so wait, you just moved to New York. I have like so many questions for you, but I feel like I don't want to like co-opt this, but how is it living in New York?
Oh man, it is wild, I will say. Just very different. I mean, I was living in Portland before with basically on frat row with all my friends. So we had like 3 houses in a row on a street that was kind of in, and it was like a downtownish area. And so it was just like very social or whatever. And then here, I mean, I guess New York is social too, but now I live alone again. And I live on a pretty like popular street, I would say, but it's just weird living alone again, and I don't have as many friends obviously here yet, but it's the type of city where you have to make things happen for yourself, because it's not gonna be handed to you. Like, I could so easily just stay in my apartment and be like just kind of numb to the surroundings or whatever, but you have to like go out of your way to make plans and do stuff. But I'm just figuring it out, but I love it so far. So
yeah. And you're doing like being like a content creator, like running your own business full time.
Yeah.
I am. So I was actually going to move to New York, in September. Mm-hmm. And then I found out like 2 weeks ago, I had applied to MFA programs in the fall. And like, normally you find out about those early spring, like March and stuff. And I had gotten rejected from like every single one, but I didn't realize, I guess I had been waitlisted at BU. But I didn't even know. Like, I had, like, closed that door. I had been, like, I've been rejected. Like, my ego is hurting. But, like, you know, we will carry on. And then I got this call being, like, it's actually really unfortunate. There's a student who's, like, for the past 2 years had to defer because she's stuck in India. So they're, like, you have a spot. And, like, the program's fully funded. And it's only a year. So I'm, like, I need to do this. So I threw out my New York plans. But
sad, but good for you. I did see that you were moving to Boston. I was like, oh, I wonder why she's like going there. What is MFA?
Master of Fine Arts. So it can be like, you know, people can get their MFA in fine art, which is like, could be like painting or sculpting. I don't know as much about that, but I'm doing mine in creative writing, specifically fiction. So, because I don't know, you probably don't know this, but my TikTok started off. So background is in comedy and doing stand-up, and when the pandemic started, I was like trying to like keep my comedic muscles strong, so that's like why I kind of ventured into TikTok, to just like do some of my stand-up material that I'd already like spent the past year writing on TikTok. And I like did these basically, I just basically told my jokes while putting on makeup, and then it just kind of turned, and that's an example. We were just talking, it was before you started recording for the listeners. We were talking about how like TikTok wants you to like fill a niche, and like they want to see it rewards like doing the same type of content over and over again. So my phase one of TikTok was me basically doing this like very like specific format of telling, at first it was just telling jokes, but then I realized the ones that did best were the ones that had like narrative arcs. So it was like me telling stories while putting on makeup. And
it's like a very short story time.
Yeah, exactly. It was a story time. And I like did not know how to do makeup, but I will say that I feel like I got a little bit better. But I was just talking to a friend about how when I did those story times, people would like, you know, obviously, you know, people like love to shit on you on the internet, or not you specifically, but when you're a content creator, like getting hate, or maybe not, maybe you like, maybe everyone loves you.
No, everyone gets hate. I don't get a ton, but like everyone gets hate, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So I feel like, so when I was doing the story times, I would like the biggest thing, people would just like come for me for my makeup, which was like so easy for me to shrug off, because I'd be like, whatever, yeah, I'm bad at makeup. Who gives a fuck?
Well, you're tapping into like the beauty market too, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I think I probably like showed up on the FYPs. Like, you know, other people are doing this like format of like putting on makeup, and there's like, you know, makeup is an art. Like,
it's like full on portraits on people's faces.
Right, right. And like, there's like definitely like where I like came to like really admire it as an art form. Mm-hmm. But I was definitely not there, and I don't think I'll ever be there, because I've never been like artistically inclined in that way. But you know, I learned how to do a little eyeshadow. I learned how to do a little contour.
Okay. I can't do either of those. So pro.
Yeah. I feel like I held my own a bit, but back then people would shit on me for my makeup. And now that I'm like more in like the, I guess like personality, like now I'm like just like I don't do one type of content.
Yeah, I feel like you're almost kind of like a vlogger on there.
I try to be. Yeah. So thank you. But the hate that I get is like so much more like specific to my personality. I'm like, ooh, oh, that hurts. It's like, can we go back to the days where people were shitting on my eyeliner?
Let's take a step back.
Yeah, yeah.
Go guys, my makeup, on. Please.
Yeah, yeah.
What
yeah.
do people say?
Now, well, you know, it like varies per video. It's like, well, so recently I got Botox.
Okay. I saw that. Transparency. We love it.
Thank you. Thank you. It was my second time. And the first I've like, you know, I feel like it was like kind of a growth moment for me, where the first time I got Botox was in January. And when I got it, I was like, okay, I'm not going to like, I was just like, I'm not putting this on the internet, because I was like a little embarrassed or ashamed. You know, we have these like internalized things about like, you know, I think it's all kind of rooted in the patriarchy, but I was like, I'm not going to like show this. And then this time I was like, you know what? I'll show this. Like, first of all, my life is not that interesting. And it's like one of the few interesting things happening this week, or like, just like the, you know, I really don't leave my house that much. So it's like, I might as well just show me leaving my house and doing this. But, okay. So the Botox videos, you know, people just like, everyone has all sorts of opinions about like why I shouldn't have gotten Botox. And then like, honestly, the majority of comments were actually people being like, go off, queen, you know, like, but we ignore the nice ones.
Oh yeah.
It's like the mean ones. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I'm not like, you know, there's so many nice people out there who are like so supportive, but it's like, I don't give them the time of day.
Or there's 99 nice comments, and the one thing I'll take away from it is the one mean one.
Yeah, exactly. So what, like, with your running content, like, what's the kind of hate you get?
Okay, when I first started, like, I was not equipped to handle the hate. And I feel like I'm not really controversial. I don't really do that much stuff. So I don't
know. You're an unproblematic queen.
Yeah, I try to be. But when I first started, a lot of it was on my appearance. Like, people would kind of nitpick my appearance, especially as like a runner, a competitive runner. You just get very much nitpicked and what you could do better, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. And then there was one, I will always remember this one, where someone literally like wrote out a full length essay under one of my YouTube videos of like everything that I had quit since college.
Oh my,
because like
God.
Yeah, because it's like, I mean, I was 21.
Yeah,
I've been through like very like just a ton of phases since college. I've had different jobs, just figuring out what I'm doing with my life or whatever. And someone just wrote out this whole essay. I was like, Oh my gosh. But then it also like speaks volumes on them. It's like, what are they doing with their life to do their research and do a 5-paragraph essay on what is wrong with me, you know? But
yeah, a sad, sad soul. You have to be in like such a dark place to like go through the steps of doing the research.
Yeah.
Writing it out. Proofreading and then deciding to press post.
I'm like, what did you get from this? You know?
Yeah, I know. Wow. Whenever someone comments hate, I'm like, honestly, it's like, yeah, they're sad people, but, and you know, I think once you like rise enough to have like this, a bigger following or like, you know, even a mid-size following, like I feel like when I was even at like 100K followers on TikTok, this like people just like project everything on you about them. And like with the body image stuff, you know, I feel like my body is really visible on the internet, especially when I started like showing my runs and like the get ready with me to run. And I really didn't really think much about my body, like, or like, obviously I did, but like the people are really like, they're not that, I don't think anyone's ever been like, oh, you're brave, but I think there's like this of the there's a lot of implication that because I don't have like the stick thin Instagram model or like, you know, when we see like professional runners, they are really thin. Like people think that I'm like almost just like by being normal looking on the, and like not wearing a shirt on the internet, I'm like making some sort of like statement. And it's like, no, I'm not.
I'm literally like, just being myself.
Yeah. And like, I feel like I've somehow, I'm not maybe body positivity, because I know that's kind of like a fraught space where it's like, I'm an able-bodied cis white woman. I should not be taking up space in, you know, body positivity stuff, but like, I definitely, people have like put, I feel like I've been put there. Like, not that I've like intended to be either. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. It's like, you don't even really talk about it. Just being yourself, you're just put into that category. That is so interesting. And especially like, 'cause you have so many followers. How many do you have on TikTok now? Like
1.2.
1.2 but like 2 million followers. I can't.
But but when I lost a decent amount. I lost like maybe 1,500. It's like sad that I like know that, but from
when I lost 1,475.
Yeah, when I posted the Botox stuff, like I lost a lot of followers, but I tried not to fixate on it, but that was like, I was like, oh, interesting. But I think that goes back to people being like, 'cause one of the comments people said was like, or one that like I remember was someone being like, you're all about health and positivity. Like, why would you be putting toxins into your face? And it's like, okay, that is like so far off from like what Botox really is. But it's like, yeah, I am about health and like living a healthy life. But like, I never, like, that's not all I am. Like, I'm also kind of a vain bitch. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, it's true. I think a lot of people put, they have this image of you in their minds. And if you don't, if you do something that goes against the image, it like really offends people a lot of the time. And it's kind of crazy because it's like, you're a person too. And I don't know. It's like, even in the running world, when I first like graduated college and everything, I was like afraid to kind of show that I like wasn't eating healthy all the time and that I wasn't getting like the best sleep and I was going out more and like drinking alcohol. And I was like so afraid to show it because I knew people had this perception of me in their mind that I was like super, I don't know what the right word is, but at the end of the day, like that's not really me. You know, I like to live a balanced life of health and wellness and then also having a little, not wild side, sounds weird, but
Yeah, but just being like multidimensional and like you maybe eat like really well a lot of the day, but then like you want to have your fun at night or whatever it might be. Yeah. I think like it's weird because there's definitely like a call, people like want to see authenticity.
Yeah.
But then but they want to see like authenticity in the specific version of you that they've created.
Yeah.
And as soon as you step outside of that and you're like, wait, and you are being authentic, like they're like, wait, this isn't you. And it's like, no, it is. You just made up something in your head because you don't know me. You see me on the internet. And I have been like recently really struggling with that and like definitely building some resent. I love Fruit Gang. So if anyone from Fruit Gang is listening to this, but like there are some trolls that have just made me a little salty about about the internet, I guess. I don't know if you ever, have you gone through, because how long have you been doing like social media?
So I started my YouTube channel back in 2017. So it's been a little bit, like a little while, but I've also stayed very like niche, you know, I'm in the running world and a lot of runners know me and I don't really branch out of that sort of thing. So I think people know what they're going to get when they see me, like not, I feel like not really a lot of new people are coming to my page. And if they are, they've probably already heard about me from someone else. If like, if you're in the competitive running space, I don't want to toot my own horn, but like if you're in the competitive running space, it's just really small. So people just kind of know each other.
What was your inspiration for starting the YouTube channel? Like, what did you like, what did you want to show or like,
I was in college, I was a senior and I think I was, okay. So first of all, I was really bored. I was in Eugene, Oregon, which is just, there's not that much going on in the summer. Like none of my teammates are really there anymore. And I was like, I always have been a YouTube watcher. And I feel like if you're a YouTube watcher, you're more inclined to start a YouTube channel. Like there's two types of people. And I've said this like on other, I think Instagram, I don't know. There's two types of people. It's like people that watch YouTube and people that don't follow YouTube at all. Mm-hmm. And I've always been one that followed YouTube and I was like, I can do this. And like the running YouTube scene was kind of popping up, you know, and I was like, I can do this. So then the first video I posted was day in the life of a D1 runner. And it was just like the clickbait. Like people were just and I kind of knew it too. And like Oregon is pretty secretive with their running stuff, especially back then. Like social media wasn't as big and Oregon was very secretive. So I knew people would want to see behind the scenes of what it was like. And then I mean, I never thought to this extent that I would be like doing this for my career at all. I did not realize that I would be like even famous in the running world or that people would even know me, not for my running times, but for my YouTube channel. Like I'll always be known as Emma, the girl with the YouTube channel in the running world, which is just kind of funny to think about. But what about you? Like, why did you start your TikTok? Well, I guess you started for the comedy thing, but then also the better question is, how did you get into what you're doing now? And also, what made you famous?
I don't know. There might be a bunch of different questions or answers to those questions, but I definitely started like trying to build a presence on the internet because I was like obsessed with stand-up comedy, obsessed with doing it. And even before the pandemic, I started to be like, okay, because you know, comics, when you start, you're going to open mics. You're obviously not making any money. Like literally you're paid in drink tickets if you get booked. And I was in LA. And so like, you know, I'm surrounded by these like, and I'm actually, so now that I've been doing a little bit of comedy in Providence, Rhode Island, I have, I'm just like so grateful for having started in LA just because, not that like Providence isn't a great scene, but like in LA, you're just literally surrounded by headliners. Like not, you know, there would actually be headliners at open mics. So just the quality of talent and the standard that's set is so high that like you stay humble, which I think is actually really good for stand up or for, it was good for my stand up to just be like, I'm always thinking I was bad. And like, I don't know, it helped me a little bit.
Like stand up comedy doesn't humble you enough already.
Yeah. It like people staring at me blankly, it shows that humbled me, but also like, well, I would get way more nervous at mics than at shows because I was like, I really cared a lot about like the opinion of my comic peers and like, and honestly, I think that's because they dictate a lot about like how you, like whether you get booked. Cause like it's other comedians who are producing shows. It's not, you know, random people. So like you want them to think you're funny and you want them to think you're like cool, you know, kind of stuff like that. And I also just like have a thing, and I still think this way, where I just think anyone who's good at comedy is so cool. And that's probably a big reason why I got into it. Cause I was like, I want to be like these people.
Yeah. I'm cool. But, I can do this.
Yeah. Because I wrote in college and, you know, I'm sure as you know, like when you're a college athlete, I felt so one dimensional. And I felt like that, like my identity was rowing and I had all these other, like almost like closeted passions that I just like never pursued and never had the time to pursue because I was practicing twice a day. And there was definitely a culture on my team, and I don't know what it was like for you, where like even when you tried to branch socially away, like just like spend time with non-teammates, it kind of, there, no one ever would say anything explicitly, but I just feel like it was just a little bit like, what is she doing? Like, she's not invested in the team. Like,
yeah.
So, and so by my, like, honestly, by my junior year, I just given up and been like, okay, my only friends will be my teammates. My identity will be rowing. I'm like committed to doing this for all 4 years. Like, not monetarily. I just had like committed that to myself. And so I just like in Yale, I wrote at Yale, and they have like a really cool, like arts, comedy, improv scene. And I would always go to the shows, but just like never pursue it. Anyway, I don't know how I got here, but, oh, you asked me how I started my TikTok. Oh, so I just like I started to realize, okay, maybe there's like two ways I can go about comedy. I can like get time on stage and just keeping going to open mics and like getting better and better, with practice. But I can also try and start building an online audience, which is like a naive thing to think. Cause like, yeah, of course, anyone who's like an entertainer wants to have an online audience. Like that's like a desired thing.
Yeah.
But then quarantine and like the pandemic happened, and I was like, just, I had a lot of time on my hands, and I just started making like kind of sketch videos and putting them on Instagram. Like wasn't really doing TikTok at all, but there was one video I made that I was like too embarrassed to put on Instagram. I was like, this is so bad.
That's where my TikTok is, but for my embarrassing content.
Exactly. I feel the same way. And it's ironic because, well, do you have more followers on TikTok or Instagram?
Instagram.
Okay.
TikTok's been like a recent thing for me. So I'm trying to get into it and be consistent.
Did your TikTok series start, like, was your, like, was the series Getting Good at Running Again, like your first TikToks?
No, I like had some random ones before that of me just like, I don't even remember what it was posing, mm-hmm. but it was just like, I would post running content here and there. And mm-hmm. it was always the thing that did the best. Like mm-hmm. I had a base following. I think I had a couple thousand subscribers. So it's like mm-hmm. just from posting like running TikToks on occasion, like every couple months, mm-hmm. I would just post some random funny TikTok I thought of that had to do with running, and it would just go mm-hmm. viral. I'm like, mm-hmm. And then with the getting good at running content again, I don't even know why. Like one day I was just like, I should just do this. Like I just think it would be fun. And like, it kind of went back to my YouTube channel. Cause the reason I started my YouTube channel, like one, I was bored. Two, mm-hmm. I think I just needed something else in my life other than just running to mm-hmm. focus on. And like, it really helped me bring back a passion, not like bringing people along necessarily. Like I didn't need to have fans, mm-hmm. but I think just the act of making the YouTube videos was just kind of a distraction from like the burnout that was almost inevitable yeah. and came at the end of my senior year. Yeah. But like with TikTok again, it's like, I can't focus on just the running aspect of it because it stresses me out because I'm not in great shape compared to like, you know, me back then. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. like being able to focus on something else that also has to do with running and just, I don't know, bringing people along too is just a great thing. So that's why I started that little series, and we'll see where it goes.
Yeah,
I don't know if I'm gonna keep doing the same format of just like, should I just do it for 300 days? Like, I don't know
yeah.
what the right yeah. move is, but we'll see.
So what has been like your running like journey? So you at the end you finished college, mm-hmm. and then did you keep running professionally or like what happened?
So I ended up leaving college early. One, because I had a job offer from my YouTube channel, which was
cool.
I basically got recruited to work for this track and field agent that he's an agent for a bunch of Olympic track and field athletes. And mm-hmm. I was like, I was a social media person. I was like, this is like an ideal job. And I knew I wasn't going to run anymore because mm-hmm. I was really burnt out and I could just feel it coming. I was like, I need to do something else.
Wait, what were you recruited to do?
So good question. I don't know. At the end of the day, like there just wasn't really a job for me there.
Uh-huh.
I like the company was great. It was very small. There's only like four uh-huh. people that work at the company, and there just wasn't really any direction. And I was like, I'm a girl with a YouTube channel. Like, I don't know mm-hmm. what I'm mm-hmm. doing. Like mm-hmm. I would basically send athletes these kind of like social media plans to help them build their social media presence, but mm-hmm. the athletes weren't doing it. So it was
So he wanted you weren't being recruited as a client. You were being recruited as like someone who would help guide his clients.
Yeah, I was being recruited to work for the company as like a social media PR person. I don't really remember, but yeah, I was in Atlanta for 4 months. I don't know anyone in Atlanta.
And you dropped out to do
this job. I didn't drop out. I didn't drop out. I finished college early. I just didn't take my last season of eligibility.
Oh, okay. Because you're a spring sport?
Well, it's year-round. So you have cross-country in the fall and then indoor track and then is in the winter and then outdoor track is in the spring. So I didn't take I didn't take the spring season. And then I decided to join a professional team when I was in Atlanta, which was not the best decision because I was just not mentally there and like in it.
But I empathize with that. Like, I feel like when it's like what you know, I definitely had that like itch. Like, even though I was so burnt out too at the end of college, I was like, should I just keep going? Because it's like what I'm good at and what I know. And
yeah.
So what happened? Did it and it just went badly?
It didn't go badly and like, I don't know. I just think it, my whole Atlanta situation, like I just didn't know anyone, which is basically why I joined the team. Cause again, it was all I knew. My identity in college was running and I didn't have any friends outside of the team. I gave up on that desire my freshman year. And like traveling year round, it's like, I'm not going to be like hanging out with these people on the weekends or whatever. But, so I joined that professional team and then the job just wasn't really like, I wasn't really learning anything. And I was like, I just need to do something else. So then I decided to move back home to San Diego for a little while. And I did that for a year.
San Diego?
Yeah, I'm from San Diego.
Wow. I'm obsessed with San Diego.
Yeah, I can see you in San Diego. You look like you're from San Diego.
Oh, that's a huge compliment. Thank you.
But yeah. And then like, since then, my running has just been like, so on and off because I don't think I've ever really been mentally there to be able to get back to where I was because it is just like a big mental toll on you and like balancing that and like working for myself, though it is in the running world. Like I kind of posted a YouTube video on this last week that just talked about like my mental headspace. Like I've just never really been like back to where I once was because I don't think I like addressed a lot of the issues that I have, I guess. That like confidence wise in terms of running, just like body image stuff. So just a lot of stuff. And then I started going to therapy a couple months ago and then it's really helped me. And then now like with the getting back into running series, getting good at running again, it's like, I feel much more equipped to be able to dedicate more time to running and like just mentally because I don't know. So it's been a whirlwind and like I ran like the Chicago Marathon back in 2019 and like I just haven't had like a year of solid training. So because I think of my mental headspace and me like giving up so soon because it was kind of a mess, but yeah, that's basically summarized, but we'll see. Like, I don't know. I'm very optimistic about the future because I am dealing with the mental side of it that I feel like I don't feel like I'm done yet either at the end of the day. Like I don't
competitively.
Yeah. Like I feel like I could get back into it. I mean, I love running just, I think now what I've learned after college is that like running is fun, not competitively. Like I just like to do it as an activity. So, yeah, but I also don't feel like I'll be fulfilled unless I like, you know, push my body to the physical limit and I know what it's capable of. It's just getting there again. I don't know.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What was your distance in college?
I was like a miler, 1500 a miler, and I ran cross country too. So that was 6K.
Okay. So yeah. When you like see a version of yourself competing again, what distance do you think that would be at?
That's a good question. I feel like after college, more marathon, like road racing is definitely more popular, obviously. Mm-hmm. Like getting on the track is just a little bit more niche or whatever. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know if I see myself running another like 1500 again. Like it just takes a lot of speed training, but I think like 5Ks on the road would be good. I don't see myself as a marathoner. I don't know if I have it in me to be doing a ton of miles. Like I would do it on occasion, because even running the Chicago Marathon back in 2019 was super fun. But we'll see. I don't know. 5Ks on the road, 10Ks maybe. We'll see.
Yeah.
But I'm curious about your running journey. I don't want to make this whole episode about me. Like all my listeners probably already know all this about me.
But well, I didn't, so I'm very interested.
I know. I feel like we could talk for hours about this. It's our first time meeting. It's like we want to get to know each other better. But how did you get into running? Because obviously you rode in college, and then how did that translate into like you're going on like long runs?
So I because rowing is, well, we were also full year. We didn't compete in the winter, but I would say arguably the winter was like the hardest training period because it was like winter training, just like an absolute slog. The number that you fixate on with rowing is the 2K, and that's, you know, really, you know, only like, well, ideally like a fast 2K for a collegiate rower, female rower, is like in the sub-7. So I actually, maybe it's even faster now. I feel like the sport is growing so much that it could be even faster now, but, and you know, that's like a short, it's like a sprint, you know, anything I feel like under 10 minutes, or maybe it's different with running, but it's like a short time to just like exert yourself.
Yeah. It's like a mile, I would say, probably in equivalent.
Yeah. Yeah. Very painful. I feel like the mile, because it's not like short enough for you to just go all out and not think. Like you do have to kind of think about pacing yourself, but yeah, it's super painful. But I think because I had spent, you know, 8 years of my life focused on going fast over a certain distance, the idea of like approaching a new sport with that same mentality was like, I just was so burnt out at the end of college. So for me with running, I was like, the only way that I can like do this and feel fulfilled by like with progress is by treating it like I can either try and go faster or I can just see how far I can go. And so that's why distance run, like running long distances, really appealed to me, because I never like look at my like pace really. I just am like the when I think about pushing myself, I think about, okay, running, like last week I ran 12 miles. Let's see if I can do 13, or like, you know, last week I ran 15, let's see if I can do 17, sort of thing. So that's why I run long distances. But I always like, I don't know if you look, but like I post my like little stat because I use the Apple Watch, and I post at the end, and it's usually like anywhere between like an 8:30 and a 9:30 pace, which some people, I know like everyone's at a different place with their running, and like for some that might be like fast, but for, you know, I know for like runners probably in your social sphere, that's not very fast.
Okay, but like just going into the sport and running, like if you're running 17 miles at that pace, like that's no easy feat. When I was in college, you know, yeah, I was doing my runs at, you know, 7 to 7:30 pace, like my easy runs or whatever, but I was not going over 11. Like I remember I would hit the hour mark and be like, I'm ready for this to be done, you know? So it's like, it's just impressive.
Oh, well, thank you. But what I think is weird, and maybe like you know more about this just from like a physiological perspective, but when I try and run like 1 mile at like pushing pace, like if I tried to run a mile at a 7:30 pace, I would feel gassed by the end of it. So it's like, I feel like I'm at a very much a sweet spot. And if I try and push beyond that, I just like feel really tired and like, you know, where I had like, I think a pretty, it took me a long time to get to this point. I mean, I graduated in 20, when did you graduate? I graduated in 2017.
2018.
Okay. So it, I'm now like four years out and it wait, that's right. Yeah. I'm 4 years out. It, I feel like only until this past year have I like gained a healthy relationship with working out. And what I mean by healthy is just like doing it consistently. Yeah. Because I had like such a toxic, like I graduated and I was literally like, I'm never working out again. Like I hated it. I hated like, I just hated waking up early. I hated the whole thing. I was done with it. And I didn't work out for a long time. And then I was like, oh no, I'm depressed. And so then like, and I think I needed to go through that though. I needed to like completely become sedentary and 100%. Like,
I did that for months on end too, just completely sedentary.
Mm-hmm.
And but it was just like so different, and it doesn't solve all your problems. Like you said, it's like it makes you kind of depressed.
Yeah, and for me, I remember being like, I'm going to be so much more productive and energetic, and have so much more time without working out. And I had the opposite experience where I was like tired. I wasn't sleeping well. Weirdly, I felt like there were fewer hours in the day. Like it just like I was like, wow, I'm really wrong about this. So a big thing for me was accepting that like mental health wise, like I need to be someone who finds 30 minutes in the day to work out. And it's just like, that is my truth. That like, once I just like accepted that with myself, then it just became less like, this is just who I am. And some people don't need to work out every day. And like, that's great, but everyone's different. So yeah. And then, I don't know, with the long distances, I just enjoy. So when you run now, what's your kind of like sweet spot with like mileage?
I mean, I would say at this phase of just getting back into it, like 4 miles is good. And like, I just don't feel good when I'm running right now. Uh-huh. And it's crazy because it's like when you're in shape and you're routinely doing it for months on end, like you feel okay when you go out running. Uh-huh. And that's what I think when people start the sport, I didn't realize this until I stepped away for a while. I understand why people don't run, because these first runs are just so bad.
Miserable.
Like, you don't feel good at all. But then it's like when you're in it, when I was like in college doing these easy runs at 7:15 pace, it's like, it was just, you know, you're just like floating. Like it's just, you just reach that level of fitness. But for me, like 4 miles right now is like, ooh, like today I did 6 miles, but I was on the Alter-G, which is like the anti-gravity treadmill. So it's easier on the body. So, I did 6 miles today on that. But
where do you have access to that?
Well, I booked it on ClassPass. And, so it's at like some PT place here. It was an absolute sauna. I don't recommend.
Oh, no, like that. They didn't have AC?
I think they had AC, but like it was just, there was no fan directly blowing on me and I was just absolutely dying. But it was great. I love Alter-G's. But right now it's like, for me, it's just the building mileage phase. So it's not really necessarily like how long I'm going on a certain day. It's the weekly mileage that now I'm focused on. So it's like, right now I'm at around 30 miles, and where I want to be is building to 50 miles, where I'm consistently running 50 miles a week without any workouts or anything. But that's when I know like I'm in like good shape, is when I can run 50 miles and I feel okay doing it. And that's like the goal. I mean, it's not very glamorous because it's just like boring, easy runs, but I'll work out here and there.
Yeah.
But do you do any like hard workouts, or is it just easy runs?
Well, sometimes I use the Nike Run app and they have like the speed runs, which are like interval training. Mm-hmm. And, I do that on, that's actually how I break up my long runs. Sometimes is I'll like run 5 miles out from my house, and then I'll like start like a speed run. That's like, they have one that's, I believe, 8 intervals of 1 minute on, 1 minute off.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll like do that in the middle of my long run. And then, like, it just kind of like breaks it up and makes it like exciting and just like a little, and then weirdly, I don't know if you have this experience, but sometimes when I do intervals in the, like the first part of the run will feel the hardest. The intervals, I'm like distracted and I'm like blasting the music and I'm kind of like having fun with it. So it's like, yes, I'm like exhausted, but it's like kind of feel, and like, you know, it's intervals. So you can like walk on the off if you want to. So it's not like hard in the way of like, this is endless. But then when I finish the intervals, usually I'm like sweaty and I feel really loose. And I just feel like way, like the running, like the pace that I was in the first part of the run feels so much easier. And I'm also just like way more at peace with going slow because I feel like I've kind of already got my work in. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's like, I feel like a little bit of like a running psychology hack that's worked for me. But to your point about you understand why people just like don't run and have such an aversion to running. I completely had like have that experience too. And when I, the beginning of the pandemic, I was like not in a good spot, totally sedentary because I was living in LA and there was like the stay at home order was like, there was a period where it was like, you shouldn't be going outside even to run. Like the only reason you should be going out is for like necessities, like getting groceries and stuff. So I like wasn't working out at all. And then I got to Rhode Island and I had gained like 20 pounds and it was like, I was just not in a good spot. So I was like, my goal, there's a really nice loop around my house. That's 3 miles. So I was like, just do that every day, whether that's walking it or running it, just like get in like those steps.
Yeah.
And because it was like a set distance, I just ended up running it more at like working up to like running the whole thing because it's like, okay, it can either take me like 35 minutes or it will take me an hour.
Yeah, walking. You just get impatient with yourself. Yeah, like, yeah. I'm just like, gonna run it.
Exactly. I want to get it done. And the first month of doing that 3 mile loop every day was miserable. And I was like, I feel like I'm dying. But then you don't even realize you are getting to a point where you're like, where running is starting to feel easy. And then all of a sudden you go on a run and you're like, that felt good. Like yeah. What? Like,
that felt like, good. I feel okay now. Like when you finish, you're like, I don't feel that bad. Like I could maybe go more.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's such like a liberating feeling.
Yeah.
But how is it running in New York? And like, do you enjoy it? It must be so different. You were living in Oregon, Portland before.
Yeah.
And Portland's beautiful.
Yeah.
So
see, I'm not really a trail runner. So if you live in Portland, like there's awesome trails. You have Forest Park, which is just huge, like miles and miles of endless trails. But I don't like trail running. I don't stay on my feet very well when I trail run.
And I'm not very good.
Yeah, a lot of tumbles. And I am not very good at hills. Like I just don't.
Okay.
I don't love them. My body doesn't really agree with them. So I would run like, I would pound the pavement every day. You know, I was going on the waterfront, which is just like, it's just like a flat loop. So when I move here, I just run, I've been running on like the West Side Highway, which is like, literally you're just pounding pavement. It's the same thing as Portland. So honestly, it's very similar. But then the difference is that the running community in New York is bigger, which is kind of crazy because it's like, I thought when I moved to Portland that running is very big there, but it's like a lot of professionals live there because Nike's based there.
Right, right.
And Under Armour and things. Well, I guess I don't really know that many Under Armour athletes actually. Yeah, never mind. Scratch that. But like, since Nike's founded there, like there are a lot of runners out there, and like all my friends were basically washed up, you know, college runners too. So there is a community out there, but like here, there's more of a just general running community, like different. There's just a ton of group runs that you can go to, and there's like track teams that you can join. So that's what I actually really love about New York is like the running scene is just, there's not a lot of pressure, but then it's also a lot of fun, which is what I need at this point in my like life. Right. Like in Portland, it's like, there's professional runners. I'm like, well, I can't train like that right now.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It would almost be like discouraging. Cause I'm like, I can't even go on runs with my friends right now because all my friends are like running 7:30 pace. I'm like, I can't run 7:30 pace comfortably right now.
Right.
But then I go to these track practices here in like Brooklyn Track Club has a track team.
I was going to ask you, do you know Ned Trim?
I don't know him, but someone messaged me about that earlier. I knew he ran for Berkeley, but I don't know him. I'm sure I will meet him at some point though.
Okay. Cause I was thinking of, when I was like, thought I was moving to Brooklyn up until like 3 weeks ago, I was like, talking to Ned because we knew each other in LA. We have a mutual friend, and we just like ended up hanging out a little bit in LA before he moved to New York. And he like, I always look at his content and I'm like, damn, this looks like so much fun. Like,
no,
this,
I like, know. Perfect. And I'm like, and he's perfect for me because it's like, it is really fun. I've been to a couple practices now. It's really fun. And there's a great amount of content that also comes out of it. Like there's always people like vlogging and taking pictures. I'm like, this is great for me. I mean, as someone that does this, like, I'm like, I love pictures, you know, free pics.
It seems that I can post very running. Cool. Yeah. Like,
it is
like,
really cool.
Yeah. It's like then, a cool kids running club.
And I'm like, but then I want to get in. So the coach at Brooklyn Track Club used to run at Oregon. So it's like, we know each other. And so I don't know. It just, there's just such a good running community out here. So that's why I like running in New York, though. It's like, I don't know, not that many professional runners are living in New York City, but also at this phase in my life, it's like, I'm just trying to get back into it to be able to run 7:30 pace comfortably, you know?
Right. So, right.
Yeah. And I just get the other parts of New York that I like. So.
Yeah. Like, did you just move there? Cause you like wanted to move in, like have a period of life where you lived in New York?
Yeah, basically.
Do you think it has like helped, or do you, for, I know you haven't been there for that long, but like as a content creator, do you think that living in New York is a good place to be?
Yes. I mean, compare, it depends on where you are. Like maybe if you're in LA, it's similar, I would say. And it also depends on
the did content creating in LA, but I would imagine it's a good place just but sorry, I interrupted.
No, I mean, I feel like there's just a lot more opportunity. Like even being in Portland where the running scene is supposedly, you know, big or whatever, I didn't really do that much. You know, I didn't really network that much. And I mean, maybe it's because of the pandemic too, because I only lived there for almost 2 years and like a year of that was in the pandemic. So, I mean, I just didn't network that much and there just wasn't that many opportunities that were coming out of like the city of Portland, you know? And then here, even living here for 2 weeks, like I've met a ton of people and there's just been opportunities that have like presented itself and there's just more like-minded people that are like self-employed doing what I'm doing. So it's like, it's more motivating for me. Like I've been putting out a lot more content than I was before because especially on YouTube, because it's like, I don't know, I'm just more motivated here and I could just feel the energy here is just different. And yeah. So, I mean, I do recommend if you're like doing content creation, it also just depends on the industry that you're in. And but like a big city is definitely better than like, I don't know.
Exactly where
Rhode Island.
It definitely like I think the point you're making about like being motivated by like just other people doing similar stuff is huge. And I like find myself, it's like I live in like this really sleepy beach town. And when I'm making videos, sometimes I'm just like, it just feels like so irrelevant. But I think if you're in a city where it's like, no, people do this and this is like a viable, like, career, like you, I just could see being like way more motivated. But so I've been like having troubles with like content motivation recently. And like one thing that I don't know if you ever struggle with this, because since I've started like showing my run, my runs are such a big part of my content. I started doing that because I was just like loving running and I was like, I should share this with my, you know, followers. And now I like, you know, it's taken on its own, it's like become a beast of its own where it's like the runs aren't really just for me anymore. And like now it's tied to this like concept of work. And like, you know, I have this like very fragile relationship with working out to begin with. And it took a lot to overcome it. And now that I'm like weaving it in with like this other big thing that's like now like my source of income, like it, I'm like, it was this a healthy thing to do, Lydia? I'm not sure. Like, so I might like, I haven't really been posting a lot of like running content recently, but that's because I'm going through a little bit of a workout funk right now. But I do think I need to be like a little bit careful with like how much, like, I still want my workouts to be mine. I don't want them to be like, I don't think I should share every single workout, which is what I started to do, which was just overkill.
Yeah. Wow. Like, I don't think I've ever really talked about that because not that many people can relate to that.
Yeah.
Like, there's not that many
people. Well, it's very specific.
Yeah, it is. It's very specific, but that is, you are literally preaching to the choir. It's like,
yeah.
even college was fine. You know, I was doing it really for the fun of it or whatever.
Yeah.
But then after college, it's like, I felt this pressure to like continue running, even though I was a very unhealthy relationship with running, yeah. especially right after. I was like, well, mm-hmm. it's like the only thing I'm good at. And then now it's like, I can make money off of it. So now I have to do it. And like,
mm-hmm.
and then everyone's like looking at me, but then now it's, I mean, a couple of years down the road and like, I've really just humbled myself and realized that like, most of the people that follow me now, especially, it's like they're not following me for these insane running times.
Mm-hmm.
So I've kind of dropped the whatever pressure I put on myself to like, you know, perform or mm-hmm. even do workout videos. It's like I've been very transparent, especially on my YouTube channel, that I'm like, I have really struggled like with my mental relationship with running mm-hmm. and like working out in general. So mm-hmm. I don't think people even expect that from me anymore. And
mm-hmm.
not saying that you should like be open on your platforms about mm-hmm. it, but I think, yeah, just finding that right balance of like being able to work out for you and not, I don't know, like even now, like today, like running on the Altergy, and I was like, well, I have to film this, even mm-hmm. if I don't want to film, it's like, you have to film the run,
mm-hmm.
which I don't know. It's just a weird balance and not that many people can relate to it. And yeah. see, I am really grateful for being able to do what I do and like mm-hmm. how this is my job. But yeah, I think it's definitely played into that mental health aspect of running for me, and probably something I can discuss with my therapist.
Your therapist. I need a therapist yeah. to talk about this with.
Yeah.
I did I for a little bit, have you heard of BetterHelp?
Yeah, that's what I do it on.
Oh, you do? Okay. So I did BetterHelp for a second and I was like, this is just I think it's all about like matching with the right kind of person. I also think maybe I wasn't like committed to it, because I think you really have to be committed. But I just like did it like two sessions and I was like, this is not for me. And then I like, it's like you lose like $500. It was like such a, I was like, damn.
Yeah. Cause yeah, you know. You definitely have to, it's definitely the right person. The first person I started off with was, I was like, I don't know. I did my first session. I was like, oh, this is not for me. And then it was like funny because then I felt this kind of shame of like switching counselors. And I was like, he's going to be mad at me.
I know.
And I was like, why this is, I'm spending my money on this. Why am I even concerned that he's going to be offended that I'm switching, you know?
Yeah. I think I let that get to me too much, where I was like starting to get concerned about, I don't know, like hurting my counselor's feelings. So I just like ghosted. But the weird thing that this woman did was like, she, the first meeting, she showed up like 10 minutes late. And I think, probably from being a college athlete, people being on time is so important to me. Mm-hmm. And I take it really personally when someone's not on time. And I probably should have been more forgiving. But for me, I was like, that's it.
That's it.
No or more that's therapy.
It. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, that's all I needed to know about this BetterHelp. But okay, I hear it all the time on my favorite pod. I listen to so many comedians' podcasts, and everyone's like, this podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Like,
yeah.
it's all over. That's how
it's definitely hit or miss. Like, you just have to search for the right person. And it took me a couple tries, but mm-hmm. we got there and it seems to be going well. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I recommend to people, at least try it out. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe you can get a free trial or something. I don't know how it works, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe I should look into it again and be like, I'm not sure.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Okay, I feel like I could talk to you for hours.
Yeah, I know. Okay, there's a chance I actually am maybe still coming. I know because we wanted to just get this interview in, but I might be coming to New York this weekend. So if you want to, I don't know how you feel about running with other people, but if that happens.
I am down to run for sure.
We can do the thing that I was trashing earlier about social media influencers.
Yeah, we can collab and be fake friends.
Be best friends.
Okay, but no, I feel like it's different. Yeah, and like in the running world, it's like everyone's pretty nice. So it's like you're not going to get that many fake people, I think. So
I know. I would like feel like there's on TikTok, there does seem to be like real running TikTok and then like fake running TikTok.
Yeah.
And when you're not that, I mean, not to be on my high horse, but I feel like I don't even know if it's like real running, but I just like, cause I have this background as being like a
college athlete. Yeah.
Like I'm like, I know when someone's a legit athlete and I know when it's just like some bullshit, like
putting on a show, being you're like, just look hot. At me, I'm quirky, I'm going for a run.
Yeah.
And sports bra and spandex. And
I know that's like falling off your tit. I mean, whatever. I don't want to like trash people, but
now I feel bad.
Yeah. But I like feel like I can, you know, obviously, you know, we both have like this shared background. I think just like having a shared background of being a college athlete, like that stuff, you know what someone's been through when they
like two different sports, completely different sports, but it's like it's very similar experience. I mean, just what you've talked about on this podcast, it's like everyone goes through it, you know?
Yeah, endurance, I think specifically endurance sports. I wish I was more coordinated. Like whenever my boyfriend played lacrosse and I would like go to his lacrosse games. Also, sorry, I feel like you were trying to wrap up the podcast.
No, I mean, I don't care.
No,
I feel bad for taking up your time.
No. But anyway, I would go to his lacrosse games and I'd be like, damn, what I would give to be on the men's lacrosse team. I was like, it looks like so much fun. And they're like,
okay, see, for me, it's the sprinting. Like I wish I could be a sprinter or like, I don't know, like a high jumper or something. I'm like, that seems so cool. And then instead I have to absolutely destroy my body.
Kill yourself.
Every week, you know? Just
like the point of your sport.
Out and pissing yourself across the finish line. I'm like, that's what I'm good at. That's the only thing I'm good at. I'm not good at any sports.
I know. My senior year, I literally think I threw up at like 90% of my practices. And that's what it was. It was like, oh, and that was a good practice. Pat on the back for getting yourself to throw up. Like it was just bad. Okay, I also had a stomach ulcer. So it's like not good.
Oh gosh. I've never thrown up from running. That's kind of like my worst fear. Like I think it kind of hinders my performances because this is just giving people bad ideas. I'm like, you don't have to throw up to be a good runner.
No.
I've never pushed myself to that point of I think I would stop before I threw up because that's how much I hate throwing up.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have as much of a throw up aversion. Like, and I would always feel so much better after I did. Like, I'd feel so nauseous, and then I'd throw up. And, okay, I don't want to, like, you know, I feel like throwing up can be, like, a triggering discussion. So we'll end it there. I just probably, like, ate funky food before practice and just, you know, wasn't. And we had, like, practice at, like, 3 p.m., which is only, like, 2 hours after lunch.
Yeah, that's a rough practice time.
Yeah, yeah.
The stomach's always hurting at 3 p.m.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, well, I honestly didn't really get to anything that I wanted.
I'm sorry.
No, I mean, it was great. It was good. That's honestly a sign of a good podcast and also the sign that we probably have to do another one sometime down the road.
When I start my podcast, we'll do it. Yeah, I hope.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Well, I want to go through some listener questions really quick. Because we got to please the audience that wanted specific things out of this podcast, not talks about TikTok I guess maybe that's what they want out of this. I don't know what they want. Well, I do because they asked the questions. All right. How do you keep your love for running?
Wait, this was a question specifically for me?
Yeah. These are all for you.
Oh, wow. That's so flattering. How do I keep my love for running? Well, I just like set myself up for, like, I know it sounds silly, but like the little things, like putting on a cute fit, like, and like having a fire playlist and just like being like, even if I'm not excited for the run, if I'm like excited to listen to a few songs, like that keeps me going. So I do think it's like focusing on the details of like if it's not the run itself, which is going to excite you, which, you know what, 50% of the time it's not, like the things that like are like coincidentally part of the run, like be focused on those, which I guess like are mostly the outfit. I mean, for anyone who follows me, I like always put this little like Tiger Bomb. I don't know if you use Tiger Bomb, but it's like,
I haven't used that since high school, but I know what it is.
Yeah. I started using it cause I went in college, I herniated a disc and it was just like kind of a numbing sort of thing. Yeah. But now I like love the smell of it. So even like just little things, like figure out what you like and incorporate that into your run. And then I think you'll like enjoy most runs.
Great answer. If you had to do another sport, what would it be? I mean, I guess you said lacrosse.
Men's lacrosse.
Men's lacrosse. No, I mean, like, I think so many. Like, I wish I played volleyball. I wish I was a soccer player. Tennis. Honestly, I'm trying to get into tennis this summer. I love all sports. Basketball. Yeah, I have so many answers.
Yeah. Wait, did you row in high school?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you brought up a rower.
I was. And someone commented, I like made a video where I like talked about my rowing briefly. Who is the chick who like got in, her mom like got her into USC or something? Oh,
Olivia Jade.
Yeah. Someone was like, okay, Olivia Jade. And I'm like, shut the fuck up. Like, I was like, do not compare me to someone who faked their way in. Like, you don't even know what I went through to get recruited. Like, those are the type of comments that get under my skin where I'm like, you don't know what a slight that is to my identity. They're like, that you're implying that I like faked my way in. Like,
you faked your way into the school.
Yeah. When it was like so much work. Well, whatever.
Not bitter about it or anything.
Not mad, but.
Okay, tips. No, wait. Best running music.
I've talked about this before on my TikTok, but I really love like angsty pop. I actually was listening, dude, I was listening to one of your podcast or your playlists the other day. I was on a bike, but then I also did listen to it on a run. It's so good. It was like a lot of, there was some Kanye in there.
Playlist was it?
Was it a running playlist? I think it was, because I think I saw you share it on your Instagram or something.
Oh, it's probably running 3.0 or something. Yeah, I think that's the most recent one I shared. Just a running playlist of 2019.
Yeah, it was good. But I would say the stuff that gets me going is angsty pop. Olivia Rodrigo has been great for that, because I kind of like to be a little bit in my feels, but it has to be like upbeat. There's some Taylor Swift songs that really work well in that regard. Like Imagine Dragons, just a little basic. Like I definitely, I'm a basic bitch when it comes to music. I mean, the Big Booty remixes, those are always
Those are great. I think are my go-to lately.
Mm-hmm. I only put those on at the end of the run though, when I'm like gonna sprint, because they're like hype. It's like hype.
That's what I like to listen to though. Like I will listen, I want something blaring in my ears most of the time. Like you're not gonna catch me listening to Taylor Swift on a run.
No way.
Straight up like hardcore rap, maybe not hardcore rap, but like hip hop or like really like loud pop music or like like Kendrick Lamar, like just something that's just like so angsty, but
like kind of angry. Yeah. It sounds like
I would listen to that though while I was studying in college. So I think
Taylor Swift. No, your music.
Kendrick Lamar.
Oh, okay, yeah. So that, you know, to each his own. That's. Yeah.
It was a long-winded answer for a simple question.
Yeah.
Tips on having fun as a college athlete.
The way I had fun was just like embracing, like once you're committed to your sport, which I think you can't have one foot out the door. Like if you're gonna do your sport, like do it with your full heart and soul. Not to get sappy, and like I don't know, my team on, we are like, spring season was technically our like like that's when we had like NCAAs and stuff like that. So we were dry, but like if your team parties, like go to the team pregames in the fall, we did that. We were dry in the spring, but like, I don't know, do fun things with your team. But also my advice, cause I used to always feel this, like this pressure to like do like, I don't know, but I had people on my team who would like be like, we're doing a nail painting, like Friday night nail painting, watching The Bachelor. And I'd never go. I'd be like, fuck that. That is like, I'd so much rather be alone. And that's an example of when I felt like they'd like judged me and thought I was being like a bitch. And it's like, no, I just like set your boundaries and be true to your boundaries. Also, like, don't feel this pressure to like always going to like team social stuff, because that's just, you know, live your truth.
Live your truth. Mm-hmm. Good advice. Is rowing or running? Do you prefer rowing or running?
Oh, running for sure. But, and that's why I have so much props for you, because to do the sport that I did so like competitively and return to it and like not compare myself to like my past self and not get caught up in that would be so hard as a rower. Or doing that with rowing. So I have huge respect for you to like continue doing the sport that you, I guess, have had so many different relationships with, it seems like.
Well, it's like, I don't know what other sport would I even choose. I'm so uncoordinated. Like, running is easy, you know?
Yeah. All you need are your shoes.
All you need are your shoes. So most people can do it, but it's like, I'm not going to go. I mean, I guess I could go hop on the rowing machine and start rowing.
But my upper body strength is
terrible. No.
Well, rowing, actually, that's a misconception, is that it's a lot of upper body, and it obviously is like shoulders, but the big muscle is actually like the glutes and the quads, because the seat moves, so you're like pushing with your legs. But
well, rowing, when I say I have minimal upper body strength, I actually have none, so I don't know. I can't even do a pull-up, so.
Oh yeah. I have like weirdly, not weirdly, it's probably because of my rowing history, but like I just don't think I'll never not have like bulky shoulders. Like, I'm like, it's just,
I have pretty broad shoulders because I grew up a swimmer too, so my shoulders are pretty. Mm-hmm. I think it is like just from the sport, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like you condition your body at a young age and it will like forever look that way.
I will have swimmer shoulders, even though I mean, I guess I swim a little bit, but
hey, I think broad shoulders are sexy, so
I mean, yeah, I don't, I'm not insecure about them or anything. Yeah. Just, anyway. Have you always been so confident?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, I'm very insecure, but I think like, I also think I'm
not confident.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I think like, part of like, I think you can be super confident and super insecure at the same time. And so I think I've always had the confidence about the things that I'm confident about, which is like, I think like my work ethic and like, I don't know, just like certain things. I think like my intuition of people I'm really confident in, but there are things that I'm also like deeply insecure about that, like, you know, I also live with every day, and maybe those aren't as obvious on my TikToks because like I've managed to like showcase the confidence and obscure the insecurities. But I think super confident people, there, I don't think there's anyone who's like simply confident. Maybe like Kendrick Lamar. Doesn't he like talk about how, like, I don't know. I thought I saw a video of him.
I don't know.
Or like, I don't know. But anyway.
Kanye probably?
Yeah, but Kanye's
probably
mentally
insecure.
Ill. Yeah.
Mentally ill.
He isn't he? But he doesn't he have like, I don't know. I thought he had bipolar disorder.
I think he does have bipolar.
But yeah, but he is probably insecure too.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, Kanye talk.
Oh yeah.
What's your favorite pre-run meal?
Well, I prefer to run in the mornings. So, and depending on the distance I'm going, like if I'm going for a 3 mile run, anything under 5 miles, I'll just have a banana and coffee, and I'll like shit before. And so I'll just like make sure I get that in, and that's like ideal. But if I'm going anything over 5 miles, I'll have like a bowl of oatmeal with a banana, some peanut butter. This is my ideal. And some cinnamon.
That's like what I ate every day in college.
Really?
Banana, oatmeal, peanut butter, cinnamon.
Wow. Soulmates.
Seriously. That's the goal of champions right there.
It really is so good. And I just think it's like perfect fuel.
Yeah. Okay. We didn't even talk about like Fruit Gang. Where did
Oh yeah.
Yeah, where did that come from?
It was a very organic thing. I think I just like start, I just in a few videos that were like close enough together, I had been like eating fruit, and I ordered a box of like tropical fruit from Miami that I did like this tasting of.
Okay, Miami fruit looks incredible. I'm like, I want that.
It's really good. I mean, it's expensive, like they're pricey, but I guess it like makes sense because it's like, you know, or it's like an organic fruit farm, and it's also like shipping fruit at like overnight is not cheap. It's like definitely not like a super sustainable, like I've only gotten it 3 times and I probably won't get it a lot more just because it's like, you know, am I really like gonna like the, I don't know, the like sustainability ethics, a part of like shipping fruit from Miami when I can just like eat an apple, you know, from Stop and Shop in near my home. But to answer your question, I was like, I think I just had been like eating fruit and I'd be like, I love fruit, fruit gang. I probably was putting together like a bowl of oatmeal with the banana, started saying it, and then people in the comments started commenting fruit gang. And then I just started repeating it more and more. And then it just like became a thing. Like it created itself, really.
Yeah. That's so funny. Like, so the first thing I said in my first YouTube video was, what's up, fellas? I think maybe I was saying it on my team or something. Like, I don't know where the term came from, but then that became my thing. And now I'm known as fellas. Like, that's my thing.
Oh, like your followers or
like my followers, maybe not on TikTok, because I don't even know who follows me on TikTok, to be honest. But like everywhere else, like people know me as what's up, fellas. Like at the start of this podcast is going to say what's up, fellas.
I love that. That's great. Yeah. I mean, I think you can't force these things. Like either they like come or arrive. And like so many people ask me, like, you know, people who are like, who have known me in college or high school, they're like, what is fruit gang? And like, when people ask me, I like, I'm like, I don't really know how to define it. Like, I guess people who are in fruit gang, they do like to work out, but they don't have to necessarily be a runner. They can just be beginning to run. They like fruit, I guess. They eat fruit, but like we all eat fruit. So that's not like a really like defining characteristic. I'm like, they like funky outfits. Like, I don't know. I'm like, it can kind of be whatever it wants to be. And I think that is like, that like little mystery I think is good. Like, I don't want it to be like super well defined.
Yeah. I don't think you should define like a characteristic or like a group of people that follow you. I think
it's too
niche.
Yeah.
What is your favorite fruit?
It's tough. I love so many. Like banana is my ride or die. You know, it's just like really a solid fruit that's been there for me through so much.
I agree.
So like, I really don't want to like, you know, I feel strong loyalty to banana, but I also love, okay, and I'm going to mispronounce this. And this is for example, a thing on TikTok where I like pronounced lychee. I think it's licha or, you know, lychee.
Lychee.
Yes. Okay. That's what it is.
I'm like, am I saying it wrong?
No, you're saying it right. Lychee. And I feel like an imposter for saying lychee is my favorite fruit when I was pronouncing it lychee, but I do love lychee. It's close. I think cousin rambutan is also really good. Like I just like peeling it.
And I've never had it.
Oh, it's so good. You got to try it. I mean, I don't know where you could probably find it in New York.
I'm sure there's some lychee in the city somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, that's the short answer. But probably banana, which is so boring. But as I said,
bananas have been with me through like thick and thin.
Exactly.
Know? They're reliable. They're not going to hurt your stomach at all.
No.
You can eat them before you work out, right before you work out. Mm-hmm. Have them as smooth in a smoothie as ice cream. You can do whatever you want with them. Banana bread.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're it's the perfect fruit. Yeah. And it doesn't get the attention it deserves because it's just kind of like we grew up with it or in America.
It's like too prevalent, you know?
Yeah.
Everyone just sees banana apple. You're like, well, bananas are definitely superior to apples.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they are.
Their one flaw, though, is that they mush so easily, and that is gross.
I know. I was about to be like, they're great to, like, take around, but they're really not, actually. No. You don't want to, like, bring a banana with you on a trip because...
Yeah, have you ever bought a banana on an airplane in a backpack?
I believe I have, probably for a race, and that's a huge mistake.
Yeah.
Huge mistake. I actually have, like, it's like a trigger for me because in college there's this boy I had a massive crush on, and I, in the dining hall, I would like pack the, you know, like where your water bottle, like kind of like elastic thing on the, your backpack. I would like shove fruit in there to like eat later in my dorm. And I was like going on like a walk with this boy who I really liked. It was like a weekday night. His name's Paul. He won't be listening.
Paul.
To this. Paul.
He was like, shout out.
Yeah, shout out Paul. He's like, was literally the nicest guy. But I, yeah, I had a bunch of fruit, including a banana, shoved in the side of my bag. And, you know, I'm kind of a nasty girl. So sometimes I would forget to take out the fruit. Like I would forget to replace it. Like if I didn't eat it all that day, I would just like leave it there.
Yeah.
So underneath the banana was a plum that had been there for a few days, I guess. And it hadn't gotten like bad or moldy, but like if a plum is sitting there being like jostled around for its few days, it's gonna be like soft.
Yeah.
And we like ended up going back to his room. Oh my God. I like just thinking about this, I'm getting like embarrassment, but I believe we like kissed or something. It was like the first time we kissed, and I had put my backpack on his bed, which is like mistake number one, because I actually think that was kind of like, you should never put your backpack on someone's like bed or couch, because backpacks are kind of nasty.
Yeah, they're kind of nasty.
Put it on the floor. Yeah. But I put it on his bed, and he had like all white pristine sheets, and then we like, maybe the lights had gone off. It was like an awkward college hookup. And then I,
maybe the lights had gone off.
We like flick them on after like, I think an awkward makeout. And the like plum juice had like seeped all over his bed. And we like, then I was like, I'm so sorry, because I was like, that sort of like thing where like you mess up someone's like personal property or like anything that, I was like raised in a way where it's like, that is the greatest sin if you like do something like that to someone. So I like, and he was like really upset. Like he was really upset by it. Honestly, like I'm like, it was obviously an accident.
Yeah. That makes it worse.
I
like,
know,
thanks. Like, sorry, I didn't mean for my plum juice to spill everywhere.
Yeah, he was like so frazzled, and he like is ripping the sheets off his bed. It was like so dramatic. And cool. I'm helping him. And it was like a little bit of plum juice. And then we like go down to the student washer dryers, and he's just like upset. And I'm like, oh, I'm gonna go. I'm so sorry. And then the next time we hang out, which I think is a few days later, he tells me he just wants to be friends. I was like, my little heart was broken. I was like, God damn it, the plum.
I feel like that's very on brand though. You know?
Yeah, that was really my first fruit gang moment.
Yeah.
And it defined me. And you know, in the end, thank you, Paul. Thank you.
Yeah. Do you think Paul regrets Paul. It? Probably.
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Seen all the happiness that fruit has brought you.
Like, yeah. But Paul was cool, you know, he was a cool guy, and he will always be, you know, when someone like rejects you, but does it in a nice way, they're like forever ingrained in your mind as like kind of the one that got away.
Yeah.
Even if like, you,
because you're like, what's wrong with me? What did I do?
Totally. And
you're normal and cool.
Yeah. And I went there and I was like, it could have been the plum, but it wasn't the plum. There's no way it was the plum that really like made him reject me. And I do actually think the plum was part of it, but yeah,
the way he reacted, probably.
Cause it was one of those things where he did seem into it for a little bit, like leading up to that night, the night of the plum debacle, there was like a lot of texting, a lot of hanging out. Like we're sending each other writing. I think like it became like kind of this like cerebral relationship. Yeah. I don't know. We've gone on a tangent.
I feel like everyone could be interested in that. I love like little relationship stories or whatever. I think everyone does, you know, that's why like, call her daddy is a thing. Like everyone just loves people's relationship drama, or just even on TikTok.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I have other questions, but we're not going to get to them.
Okay. I'm sorry.
I will spare the listeners.
Okay.
Another hour of their day, just listening to us talk about random stuff. But give me advice to your younger self.
Advice to my younger self. I guess, like, maybe, like, I wish I had, like, trusted myself more, like, even 2 years ago, especially when I was, like, honestly, 4 years ago, right, when I graduated college, because I knew I wanted to go into, like, some sort of creative capacity of, like, work. And I think there's, like, whenever you're going into a creative industry, there's a voice that's, like, well, can I do it? Because it's, like, a lot of people want to be in that industry, but, like, I kind of wish I had, like, gone in with a little bit more belief in myself, because I think I maybe would have gotten to where I am now a little bit quicker. And I just, you know, with social media, I'm not sure if you ever had this, but there was, like, definitely the biggest thing I had to push through was the embarrassment of posting things on my Instagram and, like, yes, being vulnerable and, like, and basically announcing to the world that you're trying to do this.
Yeah.
And that's a scary thing, because it's like, who does this girl think she is, like, trying to be Instagram famous, trying to be TikTok famous? And it's like, who cares who you think I am? Like, I think I'm good enough for this. And like that, then, and it doesn't affect you.
Yeah.
But I was so concerned about these made up opinions that I had, like, been like, thought people were thinking of me, that I think it took me a little bit longer than, not that it should have, because things happen how they happen, but I think I just would have been kind of gotten to where I am a little bit quicker if I wasn't so worried about that sort of bullshit.
Yeah, I think it's a little easier now. Like, people didn't know what it was like back in the day, you know, 5 years ago, trying to
get social
media.
Yeah.
Now everyone, like, no one really judges you that much for it anymore. I mean, maybe,
yeah,
but it's just more common. But, like, back mm-hmm. in the day, when I remember when I first started my YouTube channel, like, mm-hmm. somebody knew subtweeted about me. And, like,
because what they say.
Like,
what they say.
And there's no way that this person's listening, but I knew them personally. So it kind of hurt, because,
like, they were like, what?
Well, okay. What the tweet was? So I was just posting on my Instagram, doing the cringe stuff, being like, hey, mm-hmm. I watched my vlog, you know, like, mm-hmm. just typical cringe YouTube. Mm-hmm. promoting.
And how many followers do you think you had at that time?
This was, like, really early into my into my thing, so only probably a couple thousand subscribers, if that, on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. and on Instagram a couple thousand followers, like 2,000, okay. 3,000, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And then
that's still, like, significant when you're just starting out, though. Like, that's
it wasn't small. I mean, I think I just, like, because I was a good runner in high school, so I think people mm-hmm. just, like,
oh, you were kind of, like, famous in the world a little bit already.
Not famous, but, like, just being a good runner. It's like,
no, yeah.
And just being in the running scene. Anyways, mm-hmm. so the person subtweeted me and they said, we get it. We get it. You want us to watch your YouTube video. And I knew immediately that it was about me. And I
of
was
course,
like,
yeah.
And I tweeted back at them and I was like, I would unfollow me too if I were you or something.
Yeah, then, good for you for clapping back.
Well, I was like, this is clearly about me. No one else in the competitive running scene is starting a YouTube channel and posting all the thing. But it was funny because this person's significant other DMs me later and apologizes on behalf of them.
Oh my God. Are they together still?
No, they're not together anymore.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, so it's like, but people were backing me up. You know, people on my mm-hmm. team are like, don't listen to that, whatever. But it was just
and
funny.
Now and now look at you. And
No. The ironic thing was, because then this person was working for some company, and a couple years later down the road, they asked if I, like, wanted free products. And I was like,
fuck
no.
That. Yeah. I know. That is so, and that's, like, just, I'm, like, unsurprised that person ended up crawling back. Because, like, that is an example of, like, that person was probably sad and jealous and in a bad place. And, like,
yeah, I mean, so I do feel, I mean, I don't feel that bad because the person did it to me, but, like, I mean, I understand, I guess, where the person was coming from. And the significant other said that they were dealing with some stuff, but either way, don't take it out on other people. Anyway.
No.
Anyways, completely different tangent.
I'm a fan of the tangents.
We talked about a lot of different things. I don't even remember where we started on this podcast, but we probably have, like, significantly different audiences. So I'm assuming, I mean, some people definitely know who you are that follow me, but where can people follow you at if they don't already follow you on TikTok and stuff?
Okay. My Instagram is LydiaLou12. My TikTok is LydiaLou121. My YouTube channel, which I'm, like, less active on, but trying to get more active on. I'm trying to do more running content on YouTube. But YouTube's hard. I mean, props to you. Do you edit your own videos?
Yeah.
Yeah. My YouTube is Lydia Keating, which is my name. So that's where you can find me.
Sweet. Well, thanks for coming on, taking an hour and a half out of your day to talk.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is really fun. To close out the episode, can we get a good old peace out, fellas?
Oh, I'd love to. Peace out, fellas.
Thank you guys so much for listening to today's episode of Combs Over Cold Brew. I hope you enjoyed it. Lydia and I, seriously, I'm not kidding. We could have talked for another hour at least, but I had to cut it off. Don't worry, I'm sure we will have enough to talk about for another episode. If you guys enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to rate and review on Apple Podcast. Also, follow our Instagram at Combos Over Cold Brew Pod so you can submit listener questions or just be up to date on the latest episodes. Again, thank you guys so much for listening. I seriously appreciate it. I cannot express to you enough how much it means to me to be able to do this. Many more episodes to come, and I will hear from you guys in the next one. Peace out, fellas.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.